Good afternoon, BBT Nation. It is Friday, September 11th, and today is a very special rendition of Brawl's Broad Talk. Today is our NFL prediction show. We go through NFL awards, we go through division predictions, we go through our AFC and NFC championship predictions, and also our Super Bowl predictions that I gave out on Monday. If you didn't hear Monday, don't worry, we're going to talk about it again today, just a little bit more in-depth today. But on that note, if you need to get in contact with us, if you have any comments, questions, concerns, email us at brawlsbroadtalk@gmail.com. At BBT Sports is our Twitter handle, capital B, capital B, capital T, sports on Twitter. Like us on our Facebook page, Brawl's Broad Talk. And with that said, welcome. Today we got a lot of football to talk about, but first and foremost, before we get into the football stuff, I want to give a very special shout out to my parents. Today is their 22nd wedding anniversary. They are my role models. They have been for my 20 years on this earth. And quite frankly, they are the model of how a marriage should work and how it should look. Frankly, I don't see two better people fit for each other on this earth than those two. I absolutely love you guys. I adore you guys. Happy wedding anniversary. If I have anything like you two have in this lifetime, I will be beyond blessed. And I know that because I've watched you for 20 years. So thank you guys. Happy anniversary. I love you. And with that said, let's talk about football. Last night, Pittsburgh was beaten in Foxborough by the New England Patriots. They raised their banner. They brought out the trophies. It was a big celebration. And what is the first headline we get? The Steelers headsets don't work properly. Dun, dun, dun. This is a non-story, people. There's no way we need to discuss another New England scandal, right? I am so sick and tired of talking about the Patriots. Even if I was talking about Patriots, I wouldn't mind, but I'd want to talk football. All we've talked about with New England is how their championships are tainted. There's an asterisk by every one of their records, blah, blah. I'm so sick and tired of it. I really am. I don't want to make this a story that it's not. But just as like with Brady destroying the cell phone, people are suspicious. Why? Because it was the New England radio broadcast that was interfering with the Pittsburgh Steelers headsets. I'm not going to talk about this very long. I don't want to talk about it. You guys don't want to hear me talk about it. And quite frankly, it's an old story. But before we move on to our predictions, I just want to clarify something. Not only is it not the Patriots' fault, but the NFL actually takes care of all the headsets. It's not up to New England at all. The NFL takes care of all that. So no, New England did not have anything to do with it. But there, obviously, people are going to be suspicious because it's New England. And they're also suspicious because of the way Mike Tomlin, Pittsburgh head coach, reacted. After the game, his press conference, he was very upset and allegedly, that's the wrong word, basically accused New England of doing this on multiple occasions. And again, it's not even New England's problem. It's the NFL's problem. The NFL monitors all of it. So it's not New England's fault, but then the Green Bay Packers came out this morning and said, oh, hey, that happened to us too. If you heard that, that was me slapping my forehead. Because really, it's just New England, man. There are other places that have been reported. I believe it was John Madden or John Elway. Someone named John, but for the Broncos, I believe. Maybe not John Elway. But there are rumors that it happened in Oakland. That was my dog saying hi, for those of you that heard that. Lost my train of thought now. Ah, yes. Headset gate, or whatever you want to call it. It's a non-issue. Let's not even talk about it. It's not up to the Patriots. It's up to the NFL. That's all I'm going to say about it. As for the game on the field, headsets or not, Pittsburgh didn't play that well. They left Rob Gronkowski open twice. Wide open. Like, no one was in 20 yards. Headsets or not, someone's got to be on Rob Gronkowski. That's just basic understanding of football. You can't just leave him wide open. You could, and it's not going to make a difference because he's probably still going to beat any corner you put on him or any linebacker, but you can't just let him run free with no one around because then you will get burned. And last night he scored 3 touchdowns. Obviously, it wouldn't have mattered if they put Jimmy Graham on him. Gronk is a special player. He's the best tight end in the league by far. I don't think Jimmy Graham... People can argue for Jimmy Graham. He's going to Seattle now. Russell Wilson will find him in the red zone, probably. But Jimmy Graham was also getting balls from Drew Brees that were 50 yards... Or at the 50-yard line. He was catching 50, 60, 70-yard touchdowns. He's not going to do that in Seattle. His production's going to tail off. He may have the same number of touchdowns, but he's not going to have the same number of yards. Maybe higher number of targets. So if you have a PPR fantasy league, yeah, you probably get a solid guy there because he's probably going to get a lot of targets and he's probably going to catch a lot of balls. Probably not as many as he would in New Orleans, but still more than any tight end. Getting back to last night's game, you can't leave Rob Gronkowski wide open. You can't throw the ball. Actually, before I get into Roethlisberger's play, how about Josh Scobie? They trade a 7th-round pick for a kicker, and he misses the first 2 field goals. New England scored 7 points. If Pittsburgh would have at least made those first 2 field goals, they would have been right in that game. Maybe a different outcome. I would assume that Pittsburgh probably would not have won because in the last 12 years since the Super Bowl hosts have been opening up the NFL season, they're 11-1. And I was at one of those games, Green Bay, New Orleans, here in Green Bay. And the electricity that goes through the stadium, the excitement that football's back, it's really hard as a road team to come in on a night on a big celebration. And especially for Pittsburgh last night, with Brady winning, if you want to call it winning, Deflategate, avoiding suspension, with all the scandals and whatnot, people were so excited to see Brady back. They were so excited for football. Pittsburgh had very little chance, and they didn't help themselves early on with 2 missed field goals. Getting now to what I was talking about earlier, Big Ben's play. Big Ben played okay, but he forced a lot of throws, and I think that's due in part because Le'Veon Bell wasn't there. Martavis Bryant wasn't in the lineup. He's suspended. Bell was suspended. Marcus Wheaton's not anything special. He's coverable very easily. Antonio Brown obviously is a boss. I mean, he did his thing. He actually had quite the fantasy night. Caught a garbage time touchdown, which helped fantasy owners. And Heath Miller, who was okay. He didn't do anything outstanding, but none of the Steelers did. But, silver lining, Pittsburgh's offensive line looked pretty good considering that they lost Marquise Pouncey. And there's been some other shufflings, if you will, among that offensive line for Pittsburgh. So they look good off, up front for the offense. Defensively, obviously, I've already ripped on them enough. But getting... And they just didn't look great. So now I'm going to talk about New England. New England is going to do New England type things they do every year. Whether you like them or not, they're here. They're always good. And until Brady retires or Belichick leaves, they're going to be good for the foreseeable future. Weapons-wise, Deion Lewis, a guy they basically just said, hey, you want to play for $5 and a McDonald's lunch? Sure. He goes out, has the game of his life last night. And that's not going to be the last of Deion Lewis that we see. Trust me. He's going to be the next Shane Vereen in New England. Whether that's true or not, the jury's out. But I just have a feeling that that's how they're going to use him. Julian Edelman caught 11 balls. He obviously is one of the most underrated receivers and underappreciated players in the NFL. Gronk's a beast. They're going to get Brandon LaFell back at some point, I think, unless he went on IR within the last week, but I didn't see anything. But quite honestly, New England's going to be New England. Pittsburgh has some improvements that they need to make, some adjustments. And, you know, it was a strange opener because of the summer of NFL. Free agency was fun. Then the whole Deflategate thing came up. And then Brady got off his suspension. And with everything that's happened in the NFL, it's still one of the most likable things on this earth. Everyone loves football, which is difficult for me to understand because it's hard as a human being to like these guys when they're criminals, domestic abusers. You know, it's tough to turn on the TV and say, oh, another NFL guy beat up his wife or girlfriend. Oh, another NFL guy killed his wife. It's tough to like it, but yet it's interesting to me that the NFL is the most liked thing in America. It's the biggest business. Everyone loves football. Everyone just waits for football season, including me. I don't understand the phenomenon, though, where we like these guys that are essentially criminals or bad people in our society, and we just can't wait to get them out there and see them smash some guy up. It's fascinating. Next time you watch football, if you're an Aldon Smith fan, for example, he just signed with the Raiders. If you watch the Raiders game and you're rooting for Aldon Smith, isn't that just crazy? The guy has had multiple DUIs. He smokes weed. And I'm not pro-weed by any means, but it is becoming healthier than alcohol at this point. The way that our society is moving, weed is going to be used more than alcohol. That's my prediction, because alcohol is actually more dangerous, and I've talked about this before in the podcast and in writing on our blog. The weed stuff doesn't bother me. If you want to smoke a doobie, fine. You have a rough job. I get it. Fine. Whatever. Do what you got to do. But the other stuff, it's fascinating to think that we're going to cheer for a criminal, or Oakland fans are going to cheer for a criminal. Or when Green Bay, a couple years ago, re-signed Johnny Jolly, we were cheering for a drug dealer. He was going, I believe, this was a while ago, so I could be wrong on this, so take it with a grain of salt. He had a ton of drugs in his car, and I believe he either bought or was going to sell them. Isn't that fascinating? Kind of a side rant because this is a prediction show. But it's fascinating to watch these guys. Same with A-Rod. Yankees fans hated A-Rod before the season started. Now he hit 30 bombs. And people are backing aside like nothing happened. He's a cheater. He cheated. But he's helping them win. It's an interesting, interesting thing that I don't think a lot of people realize. So before we move on, I just wanted to shine a light on that. Now, let's get back to football. So we've talked about headset gate, if that's what people are calling it now. That's a joke. Pittsburgh's defense looked like a joke last night. And with that said, we are going to get into my predictions. And with that said, let's roll the music and let's get into my NFL award predictions. Yeah. That's the Oscars music, if you were curious. All right. First up on the list, Offensive Player of the Year, Andrew Luck, Indianapolis Colts. I don't think it's much of a contest. It may be him, Adrian Peterson, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. Those four. But I just think Indianapolis' offense is so good that it'd be hard to see him not win the award. He's got Frank Gore in the backfield now. Andre Johnson outside to replace Reggie Wayne. He's got good tight ends in Dwayne Allen and Colby Fleener. T.Y. Hilton's a stud. Philip Dorsett can absolutely fly. And I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of his weapons, but that's how talented that offensive group is. So Andrew Luck, Offensive Player of the Year. Now, the next category is the NFL Surprise Team. It's not an actual NFL award, but I made it a category for the sake of this podcast. Surprise Team, the Raiders. The Oakland Raiders have signed Aldon Smith this morning, as I just mentioned. They have Khalil Mack, who's a budding superstar, on the opposite side of him, and they have Justin Tuck on the inside. And in their secondary is not great, but they do have Charles Woodson, who's obviously a legend in Oakland and in Green Bay. He won a Super Bowl. He's fantastic. He'll straighten out that secondary by himself. Whether or not the coaches do it, it's irrelevant, because it's all Charles Woodson's. Basically, he's now a player coach because he's that old, but he can still ball. Offensively, they bring in Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. You got Latavius Murray, kind of an unknown in the backfield. But most importantly, Derek Carr, their young quarterback, is a stud. I love his footwork. He's got a cannon of an arm. And he's drawn comparisons to Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. So we'll see if that plays out. But Derek Carr should improve in his second year in that offense. I really think the world of him. And I think that Oakland could surprise a lot of people. But I think they will tail off eventually. I don't think they'll make the playoffs. But I think they could easily be an 8-8, 7-9 team. I think that's very realistic for that group. Next category, Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt. I don't think there's much of a contest. I did contemplate Darrell Revis a little bit, because I think with him going back to New York and Antonio Cromartie on the other side, I do think that Darrell Revis is going to have another fantastic year. He's always fantastic, but I do think Darrell Revis could have a great year. But until proven otherwise, it's J.J. Watt's award to lose, right? Next category, Fantasy Football Player of the Year, Adrian Peterson. A lot of people are taking him number one in the draft. And much like Tom Brady last night when he played gave the middle finger to the NFL, and he flat out balled. I have a feeling Adrian Peterson, not giving a finger to the league, but I think Adrian Peterson will have a big year, especially he got a lot of rest last year. It's not like he's rehabbing from an injury. He's completely healthy. He took, I think it was 8 games off last season. Adrian Peterson now comes into an offense where they have Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Two Gloves, young, I believe, who's going to become a stud in his second year. I love Teddy Bridgewater. Offensively, up front, there's some question on the offensive line, but has that ever stopped him before? Adrian Peterson, the best back in the game for the last decade. I don't think it's going to bother Peterson one bit. I think he has a huge year fantasy-wise, and he takes home Fantasy Football Player of the Year award. Excuse me. Now, our last category, NFL MVP, is the bad man himself, Aaron Rodgers. I do think Tom Brady could challenge him in the later months, or even last night. Tom Brady looked very good last night, and I think Aaron Rodgers wins the award this year, but he could have some competition. But same thing with J.J. Watt. He lost Jordy Nelson. That stinks. But like J.J. Watt, until proven otherwise, Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the game. I don't care what the NFL Network says. J.J. Watt is like 1B. Rodgers is 1A. They're very close. I think Rodgers has more important position, though. I think Rodgers is the best player in the game, and frankly, I think he could go on a streak here where he wins 2, 3, 4 of these in a row. That is all for our NFL awards predictions, but have no fear, the show will go on. We're at 20 minutes in on our show. It is September 11th, 2015. We just saw an NFL game last night. If you've missed the first minute of my podcast, we were talking about Pittsburgh and New England. The game was a little disappointing, but I don't think Pittsburgh had much of a chance. They lost 28-21. And with that said, I do want to take a moment and talk about this date because it has historical significance in our country. Obviously, it is the 14th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. It's affected a lot of people. So before we go on with our division predictions, I just want to send thoughts and prayers with those who were victimized by the attacks. And I want to thank all the men and women that serve our country and keep us safe, because without you guys, you know, who knows what this country would be into. So thank you guys. And quite frankly, keep doing your thing over there. We hope you get home safe. And God bless America. I know it's kind of a cheesy line, but especially on a day like today, you definitely feel patriotic. 9/11 was a day where our country came together because, frankly, we had to. And I think there needs to be a lot more camaraderie in our country. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of splits on ideas. And quite frankly, this is a day where we remember for the last 14 years that when we come together, this nation's at our strongest. And I think we've lacked that recently. And obviously, we'll never forget what happened on 9/11. But it's days like today in our American history where we really need to look back and remember how we all came together to make a difference and to rebound from such a tragic event. And I think we need to do more of that as a country. So thank you to our veterans, and God bless the USA on September 11th, 2015. Now, after all that heavy stuff, let's get back to football. I wanted to take a little break there to mention it. Let's go to our division predictions. So, with that said, let's cue the music, and we will start in the AFC East. Somebody call 911. Shoddy fire burning on the dance floor. Okay, so let's start in the AFC East. Last year, the Patriots won the division with a record of 12-4. I think it'll be much of the same this year. I think New England takes the division, but right behind them at the number two spot, and also a playoff team, the Miami Dolphins. A lot of people are high on the Dolphins. I am as well. I think Tannehill would be better. They signed Ndamukong Suh. Obviously, he was their big fish of the offseason. They brought him in. They brought in veteran receivers like Greg Jennings to help out Tannehill in the offense. Lamar Miller, I think, could really take a step forward this year. I really like what the Dolphins have, and I think they make the playoffs this year at about 10-6. Then right after, I have the Bills at 3. They have the talent to compete, they just don't have a quarterback. And much of the same with the Jets, who come in 4th. Both teams will be right around 8-8, 7-9. I think that's a much improved division, but both don't really have quarterbacks. They have talent outside. Sammy Watkins, LeSean McCoy in Buffalo, Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker in New York. Unfortunately, they just don't have quarterbacks to really push them over the top. That's it for the AFC East. So to recap, Patriots, Dolphins, Bills, Jets in the AFC East. Moving on, AFC North. I have the Ravens taking the division at about 11-5, 10-6. I think that Joe Flacco has a legitimate shot to take this team to the Super Bowl again. Their defense is fantastic. Offensively, they lost Torrey Smith, but they should be fine. They drafted a young tight end, Max Williams, talented kid out of Minnesota. I think they should be just fine. Number two in the division, Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't love what I saw from them last night, but you just feel like Pittsburgh is going to figure out the defense, because that's Pittsburgh's DNA, is defense. So I think they will figure that out offensively. They're getting weapons back. They'll be fine offensively. They should be fine. They will be second. Although, I will say this. I don't think they make the playoffs this year, just because there's a lot of teams that they compete with that are just a touch better that I think will win two or more games than Pittsburgh will in the end. I think Pittsburgh might be a 9-7 team just because I don't love their defense. Then after them, Bengals, solid defense. Offensively, they're above average. They're not going to overwhelm you by any means. So they're very average on offense, but they do have AJ Green, which can make a huge difference. But I think they missed the playoffs, and I think that they are the number three team in the AFC North because it's just a tough division. And fourth, Cleveland. We don't know what's going to happen with Johnny Manziel. He could be the starter in a couple weeks. He could not be. They got Duke Johnson, a talented kid, running back out of Miami. They don't have Josh Gordon. Their receivers are below average. It could be a rough year again in Cleveland. But they are getting better defensively, so that's a silver lining. But I do think they are going to struggle a little bit more than people think. So to recap the North, it's Ravens, Steelers, Bengals, and Browns. Excuse me. Moving on, AFC South. I have the Colts number one. I talked about how great their offense was earlier in the show. Defensively, they bring in Trent Cole to help the pass rush. You got one of the best corners, if not the best corner in the game. Probably not the best, but one of the best in all of the NFL in Vontae Davis. Linebackers, they're not great, but they are definitely, it'll be one of those defenses that bends and doesn't break. Offensively, they're fantastic. They take the weakest division in football. Two, Texans. I don't think there's really any question of who's number two. Texans are number two. Defensively, they're outstanding. Offensively, they lost Andre Johnson, which is a huge, huge loss. Arian Foster, kind of banged up, coming back hopefully at the earliest by the end of the month, week four-ish. But offensively, they just don't have enough firepower. And they don't have a great quarterback, which is going to hurt them in the long run. And then coming in after them, Jaguars, Titans, both have young quarterbacks. Titans don't have any weapons on offense for Marcus Mariota, who's their young quarterback. Blake Bortles, I think, could surprise some people, and I think the Jaguars will be better than people think. That's why I have them at three. Their defense is improving. Offense is improving. But they're still not a great team. But they could be in the next couple of years. AFC West. Actually, before we do that, recap. AFC South, Colts, Texans, Jaguars, Titans. AFC West, we have the Broncos at number one. I couldn't say no. I just think that Peyton will be fine and win them enough games through Thanksgiving time where they'll be okay enough to be, how do I say it? They'll be good enough early to win themselves enough games to win the division. Although, in the number two spot, Kansas City Chiefs. Their defense is for real offensively. Alex Smith in Andy Reid's system for the third year. They could be better, but they got to throw to the receivers. Receivers had zero touchdowns last year for the Chiefs. If that happens again, they're obviously not going to make a difference in the division. Three, San Diego Chargers. I have them at three. I like Oakland at four just because I think that San Diego is going to be better than Oakland. They have more talent. But they're three because Kansas City and Denver, in my opinion, are better on the defensive side of the ball, which will definitely help in those divisional games and can get them into the playoffs. And San Diego doesn't have that defense that's like going to smash you in the mouth and make a difference. They're okay. And then obviously the Raiders in last. I like what they have, but they're still a couple years away. So Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders to round out the AFC West. So now we will move on to the NFC, and we'll start with the NFC East. NFC East, Philadelphia Eagles, I have winning the division. I just think that they are solid offensively. I think Sam Bradford has a nice year. So I give the edge to the Eagles, but right behind them, the Dallas Cowboys. I have question marks with their running backs. I think their running back situation is a little, it's weaker than last year, obviously. When you lose a guy at the level of DeMarco Murray, that's definitely going to hurt your offense. But they have Romo, they have Des Bryant, they have Jason Witten. Not a lot of questions there. Defensively, I have a questions in their secondary. I just don't think they are as good as Philadelphia right now. That's why they come in at number two. I do think Dallas makes the playoffs, but they're only number two. Number three, New York Giants. They have a solid offense, but I'm not thrilled with the Giants. I just think they could be better than what they are now, and they're disappointing to me. I don't see a lot for them this year. They'll definitely be competitive, but 8-8, 9-7, I don't think they'll be overwhelming anybody anytime soon. Number four, the biggest dumpster fire in all of the NFL, the Washington Redskins. There's a split in the locker room. RG3's kind of a distraction. He's a bust. Kirk Cousins is going to start on Sunday. The Redskins are an absolute dumpster fire. They're fourth and the worst team in the NFL. NFC North now. I know a lot of you will like this, so I'm going to start from the bottom and work up on this division. Number four, the Bears. It's not that I always have liked the Bears. As a Packer fan, I've always liked what the Bears do. Their defense, I've always been a Jay Cutler fan. I don't know why. I just liked him coming out of college, and I still do. Don't know why. But this year's going to be rough. They lost Lance Briggs. Their defense is not... They cut their top corner, Tim Jennings. They do have Kyle Fuller out of Virginia Tech, who I like. But their defense is not going to be up to Bears standards. Offensively, their weapons, Alshon Jeffrey's banged up, Matt Forte's a stud, Cutler's too inconsistent, and Kevin White, their rookie, is out for the year. So, offensively, it's going to be rough. They do have Martellus Bennett, too. I forgot to mention him, but it's going to be a rough year in the Windy City. Number three, I like this team, Minnesota Vikings. I think they can do better than three. I have them here now, but defensively, they're solid. Offensively, I love Teddy Two Gloves. I love Peterson coming back. They got Charles Johnson and Mike Wallace on the outside. I think that makes a difference. And in the slot, they'll have Cordarrelle Patterson, which he had a down year last year. But he's a solid player, and he can fly like the wind. So I really like what the Vikings have. And I don't know if they can overtake my number two team, the Lions. The Lions are just the Lions. I don't know what to think of them. Offensively, they'll be solid. They lost Reggie Bush, which I think is going to hurt more than people think. But they brought in Amir Abdullah, which is kind of the same type of running back as Bush. But, I have the Lions at two. Number one, obviously, the Green Bay Packers. You lose Jordy Nelson, but you still got the MVP of the league. And they bring in James Jones, which I think that'll help that offense. Defensively, there's still a lot of question marks. Especially on the defensive line with all these suspensions for week one. But they're week one, they're playing a weak Bears team, so they should get the win this Sunday. But they win the division, so restating that. Packers first, Lions second, Vikings three, Bears four. Next division, NFC South. Not going to spend a lot of time here because there's not a lot to this division. I have the Saints winning the division, basically by default. I do like what Atlanta has offensively. Defensively, they're a mess. Carolina lost Kelvin Benjamin. Offensively, they're not going to be the same. They're in third place. Their defense is going to be solid, but their offense isn't up to par. And fourth, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Too young for... They have a solid... I like what they have on offense, but they're too young. I don't think they're going to overtake Carolina. NFC West, another division I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. Rams in fourth. 49ers... in third, those two teams, we don't really know what we're going to get. San Francisco, a lot of turnover. St. Louis, Nick Foles is now their quarterback. I kind of got to see what they have first before I make any judgments on him. I have the Seahawks in second just because I think watching them this preseason, they struggled a little bit. I think it's going to be a struggle for them at times, and I think they'll be 10-6. And I think Arizona's going to be 11-5 and win the division. Arizona was tough last year. They lost Carson Palmer. If Carson Palmer can stay healthy, there's no reason why they can't win the division. So those are the division predictions. Now, let's talk playoffs. I'm only going to go over my AFC and NFC championship games. And right now, I have the AFC championship game. I have Ravens, Patriots, and the Ravens win the game. They should have won it last week, but they're going to win this year. I think it's Ravens representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, and in the NFC, Eagles, Packers in the NFC Championship. And instead of Donovan McNabb getting the first down on 4th and 26, I think the Packers win the game. I just don't see – I think the Packers get home field, and I don't see how the Eagles come in to Lambeau and win. So my Super Bowl, Packers, Ravens, as I said Monday, I think the Packers win the Super Bowl. I just think they match up well with the secondary of the Ravens. I do think that the Green Bay offensive line, if when healthy, they've been banged up a little bit this preseason. They're one of the best in football. So I do think that the Packers have enough without Jordy Nelson to win the Super Bowl, and I think they do just that. Packers winners of Super Bowl 50. And I know that's a trendy pick, but I really believe that they have enough to make a Super Bowl run even without Jordy Nelson. So with that said, those are my predictions. Now what I normally do on Fridays is I do my big five predictions. Those are the five games in the NFL that I believe are the most intriguing, and I'm going to predict those right now. It's our big five segment. Let's cue the music and let's get to the five predictions for this week. Yeah, these predictions are going to be hot. First game, not the most intriguing game of the weekend, but one that fans are talking about. That's the Washington Redskins and the Miami Dolphins. Excuse me, a lot of people are intrigued in what the Dolphins have, and the Redskins are an absolute mess, but people are interested in to see what Kirk Cousins can do in this offense. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think Alfred Morris is really their only weapon that they'll have this week. Obviously, they have DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, but this offense runs the ball. They have since they've drafted Alfred Morris. I think he gets shut down. They make Kirk Cousins throw it. I think it's close through the first half. It's kind of a defensive battle. But second half, I think Tannehill figures it out and the Dolphins win. And I think it's by at least a touchdown. Second game, the Colts and the Bills. This is actually a very intriguing game because we don't really know how each team matches up. Andrew Luck, obviously a stud. Their offense is fantastic. But Buffalo brings the pressure. Buffalo is probably one of the most underrated teams that is in the NFL right now. I really believe that this team could make the playoffs. I don't think they will, but you never know. I really think that I can't make a decision on this game because I like Buffalo's defense versus Indy's offense, and I like that matchup. It's going to be a boring matchup between the Bills' offense and the Colts' defense because they don't have a quarterback. So it's kind of, I don't know, kind of blah. I mean, I don't know. All right, I'm making a decision. I'm going to go Colts win in a very, very, very tight game. No, never mind. I changed my mind. Buffalo Bills win in a tight game. I think the Bills win by a field goal, 20-23, something like that. Now, let's go to the next game. Bears at Packers. Just kidding. Packers at Bears. You get the idea. Sorry, I'm trying to look up some information, and I'm struggling, so that's why I'm a little flustered right now. Okay, Bears-Packers at Soldier Field in Chicago. I think this is going to be the blowout of the weekend. Green Bay is favored by 7 points. I think that's about right. I think that Chicago up front defensively doesn't have enough to get to Rodgers. I think the secondary is going to have trouble with their receivers. I think offensively the Bears are going to struggle because they're losing. They don't have a lot of weapons, especially with the banged up Alshon Jeffrey. Matt Forte is going to do his thing. Matt Forte is probably going to rush for 150 yards. but you can't run the ball and score 50 points, which Green Bay could easily do. I don't think they'll do it on the road, but Green Bay can score, and I don't think Chicago has the weapons to keep up with them. So I think the final score is something to the tune of 34-21 in favor of Green Bay. Next game, let's talk about the Saints. Actually, I take that back. Let's talk about the Lions Chargers, 3 o'clock in San Diego. San Diego with a new running back, Melvin Gordon, against a not-so-great Detroit defense. I think the Chargers win. I think the Lions on the road don't have a struggle on offense, but I don't think they're up to what we consider to be Detroit standards. I think that San Diego at home is going to control the tempo with their new toy in the backfield, Melvin Gordon out of Wisconsin. I think Rivers has a solid day. I just don't think Detroit's defense has enough to keep up with San Diego. Now, our final game, the Sunday night game, Giants Cowboys. Is that four? I think that's only four games. Yeah, so one more game. Giants, Cowboys in Dallas. New York has played Dallas tough in Dallas before. Victor Cruz, as of this morning, is not playing in that game. Dallas is a favorite in this game. I can't see how Dallas loses at home. Yes, we don't really know what they're going to have, but I can't see a scenario where Dallas loses because I don't think defensively the Giants have enough to stop the Cowboys' weapons. They will play them tough. It's a closer game than maybe I'm making it sound, but I just think Odell Beckham he'll get his, but outside of Odell Beckham, I don't think they have a ton. They have Reuben Randall, Rashad Jennings in the backfield. I just don't think they have enough to stay up in this. I think it's going to be a shootout. I don't think the Giants have enough to get into a shootout with Dallas. I think Dallas has way too much weaponry for the Giants to cover and defend. So I'm going to say that the Cowboys win 27. I was going to say 31, but I do think maybe 6 points is a nice buffer. So I have the Packers beating the Bears. I have the Colts. No, I changed my mind. That's right. I have the Bills I am sorry, Nation. It's been a longer podcast. We're going on 45 minutes. This is long for me. So let's try this again. We have Bears over Packers, Bills over Colts in a close one, Dolphins beat the Redskins, Chargers over the Lions, and Dallas over the Giants. That's it for our prediction show. That's it for our Friday show. A little longer than normal. Got a little tired towards the end. Bear with me. But one of our best shows so far. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading us on iTunes. Thank you for going on Facebook to find us. Whatever you did, wherever you are, thank you for listening. And with that said, if you want to tweet at us, it's at BBT Sports. You can email us, BraltzBratalk@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook. Thank you guys so much for listening. I seriously cannot tell you how much I appreciate you guys tuning in and keeping my dream alive. I know that I don't have a great amount of followers yet, but that's why you do it. You keep working at it. You keep getting better. I'm trying to get better for you, put the best product possible out there to you guys. And I love the fact that I can just talk sports with you guys. And please feel free, email us, tweet us, comment on Facebook. I would absolutely love it. With that said, that is the end of our show. And please, please be safe this weekend. It is opening weekend. There will be a lot of booze involved, I'm sure. But please be safe this weekend. Please enjoy football. It's a great thing. It's fantastic that it's back. And please don't let yourself get sucked in to the whole headset gate thing. That's really going to bother me because it's such a joke. But that's a conversation for a different day if it becomes a bigger story. With that said, thank you guys for listening. I will see you all next week. Enjoy the games. Go Pack, go!